Our scripture lesson this morning is from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. And I'm going to invite us, once those words are on screen, we're going to read those together. I think they are familiar words, but we're going to start at verse 16. We'll do that. Yes, you may have heard these words before, but we're going to read both verse 16 and 17 together. So let's do that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This is the word of God for the people of God, and we say, thanks be to God. Amen. Amen. Holy Spirit, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock, our Redeemer, and indeed the one who loves us first and loves us always. Amen. These scripture passages, John 3, 16 and 17. Now, John 3, 16 is probably one of the most popular scriptures in all of the Bible, especially for Christians, all of the New Testament as well. We see John 3:16 a lot at sporting events will be listed, or if you see something, you'll see that phrase. We've heard those words so often that I think sometimes maybe I'm the only one that's happens to, we don't feel it. We miss the profoundness of those few words. Now, these words were spoken in the midst of a late-night conversation with Nicodemus, a Pharisee, who was coming to meet Jesus at night because he didn't want the other Pharisees to know that he was engaging in Jesus. It would have caused him to be ostracized to some degree, or at least noted that he was becoming a Jesus follower. Why would any good Pharisee do that? And so Nicodemus comes and meets Jesus at night, and Jesus is certainly open to meet with him, to have this encounter with him. And I love in the series that was done on History Channel a few years ago with on the Bible, they couch this story, which is early in John's Gospel, but they couch it in the midst of Holy Week. So it's after the overturning of the tables at the temple, and it's during that week leading to Jesus' betrayal, his crucifixion, death, and then resurrection on Easter Sunday. It's in the midst of that tension, that energy of that week, that Nicodemus is reaching out to Jesus. It's an interesting way to think about this conversation. And Nicodemus is a faithful Jew. He's a well-respected Jewish leader. He knows the law, he knows the prophets, he knows his Torah, and he's wrestling with what Jesus is saying. Being born again seems to be so unique and odd to him. He says, I can't get back in mom's womb and be born again. That's not possible. And Jesus talks to him that it's not that. It's being born in our heart. It's a recognition of sensing the Spirit of God at work in us in such a way that we feel that our own lives, our own perspective of life, is literally born again by this love that God has for the world. This love that is not a love of condemnation. Note that 3:17, which is not always follows 3:16 when it's being read, is so key. For indeed the Son did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world would be saved through him. That Jesus' presence is not a sign of condemnation, but it's a sign of God's love. And so I ask you this, to think about this morning. And probably on a time change morning, it's not a good one to say, I want you to close your eyes and think about it. We won't do that this morning. But I want you to think about those words. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. When was the last time that when you heard that, you were consumed by it? That in your heart, in your mind, you were just overwhelmed that God could love us that much. In one of John's letters, 1 John, near the end of the New Testament, the apostle writes, we love because God first loved us. The beginning point is love, God's love. But when's the last time that you heard those words or read those words from John 3:16 and you just got lost in the unspeakable holiness of those words, of the mystery, of the kind of love that God has for each and every one of you, and for each and every one who was, is, and will be. It's breathtaking. It's awe-inspiring. God is drawing from a deep well of love that is deeper than anything that we can do, think, or say. Paul says nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. This is the love in the middle of this late night conversation that Jesus is speaking of to Nicodemus. It's our identity. And it's the core of our gratitude. Keith spoke about, and you could see his energy and his faith. He and Lynn's faith in God and how they live out that faith here and at St. Paul's through their time, talent, and treasure. And it's out of that deep well of gratitude, of God's, as we said in the prayer, all-encompassing love. On one level, I think about that and I say, how can I not be generous? How can I not be grateful when I think about that love of Jesus in this world, not only for me, but for you and for everyone? How does that not motivate me? How does that not encourage my gratitude that in each heartbeat, in each breath, no matter where I am, no matter what the situations are in life, God is loving me? Not thinking about it, not saying, well, today, David, I like you. I like you a lot, but I don't love you. I'll friend you on Facebook. God says, no, David, I love you. I love you as you are, who you have been, and who you will be. Because God's love is not grounded upon our response to God, our reaction to God's love. God first chooses to love us. That's God's stake in this relationship that we have through Jesus Christ. God says, I choose to love you as you are in this very moment. We don't have to be right with God. We don't have to get to the right spot or be in the right place for God to love us. God says, wherever you are, John 3:16 and 17, wherever you are, I love you right in that spot. And I'm there for you. This is huge. This defines our identity. It also gives us a place, a space that we can claim, a space that is not devoid of love, a space that is not full of apathy or antipathy, but around us, if we choose to see it, if we choose to trust these words, we begin to recognize that around us is God's love. And when we begin to experience it, to glimpse it, when we begin to reflect it as well, how can we not be grateful? You know? How is it possible? I don't think it is possible to be ungrateful in that reality. Well, God so loved the world. Well, isn't that perfect? You know? You can't do it. I guess you could try. I should say, for the contrarians, they'll work really hard at it. But even then, God says, I still love you. Even as you fight it, I still love you. My love for you is not going to diminish because of your reaction. That's so not like human beings, right? We love as unconditionally as we can, but we have our human limits, right? We have those situations, circumstances where our love may fluctuate. We may still love that person, but at 3 a.m, our love might not be quite at the same level it was at 3 p.m. God's always consistent. God is always saying, I love you. I love you. It's why Jesus is willing to meet with Nicodemus. And if you read the full text, John, for today that was listed, we're only using the last two verses, but if you read 1 through 17, you'll see in some humor in this, because Nicodemus is asking what are really, they're kind of funny questions, and they're meant to be funny, and Jesus responds to them. He answers his questions. They sound a little foolish. You'd say, well, somebody who knows their Bible, knows the Hebrew Scriptures, maybe shouldn't be asking these questions, but he is, because he's trying to wrestle with where Jesus is coming from, because Jesus is talking about love, and he's talking about the relationship. He's not talking about us doing what we need to do for God to like us. He's starting from the other side, which says, no, God already loves you. Why don't you accept it? Why don't you receive it? Because it's not based on how many verses of the Bible you memorize. It's not based on how much you give. It's not based on how many hours a week you choose to be a volunteer. God loves first. And then we respond. And then we act because of that. It becomes our launch pad. It becomes a spot. It becomes our home, as it were, as we then exist in the rest of the world around us and exist in the midst of the rest of our week. And so, as I think about the scripture, this becomes the heart of generosity. This gratitude. Give thanks with a thankful heart. Praise team saying that as we began this worship service. Give thanks with a grateful heart. It's being intentional about being grateful. And that can be hard in a consumer culture that we live in, where we can be grateful, but only when we get the next thing or do the next thing. Our gratitude becomes conditional. It becomes on what we have or what we're looking forward to. And so we have to fight it a little bit in our own culture about being grateful. Because being grateful is being able to say that God is present and God's love is with me now. And I can be grateful. Our world says you need something else to be grateful. You need this. You need this updated product. You need this next thing. And that's why sometimes I think for us, especially as Americans in this culture, we can wrestle with that. We can lose that sense of gratitude because we think it's tied to what we can hold on to. And here, the core of it is this. We can be grateful because God is holding on to us. God is holding on to us. And that becomes the core of our gratitude. When we realize that God is holding us, God is loving us, then we begin to look around and see how God is holding and God is loving every other person around us. And that also can spawn greater gratitude. Then we can begin to look in our lives and see the ways in which God has acted in small ways and in big ways. And we can reflect on that gratitude. And as we reflect on that gratitude, as we are grateful, we notice our own spirits are lifting. Because now we're looking at the world differently. We're looking at the world anticipating that God is at work. We're looking at the world anticipating seeing those things that we may be grateful for our families, for our relationships, for our job, for health. For the opportunity, as Mike Becker shared with us with Habitat, an opportunity to give back to those who are taking that step into more permanent housing. The gratitude that we have been historically here at St. Paul's, an answer to prayer as we have worked with Habitat. The prayer of those who are seeking permanent housing, a home for their own. Maybe something that we take for granted. And instead, we need to take some gratitude that we have that space that we can call home. And the privilege we have as followers of Jesus Christ, as we live and love like Jesus, to be able to help someone else experience what we experience on a daily basis. This love that God has for us, it grounds our gratitude, but also motivates a gracious life, a life lived in gratitude. It's powerful. And it calls us It calls us to be faithful. It calls us to be followers of Jesus. It calls us to be witnesses who could offer this hope to others around us who are struggling. Because they're not experiencing that gratitude. They're anxious. They're uncertain. They're worried. And when we are experiencing those emotions, it's hard to experience gratitude. And so in those moments, we become the ones who come and we can sit with them, we can listen, and we can be there. Not saying, oh, you should be grateful, but listening to their concerns. And then maybe as the conversation continues, begin to think about what has been there, who has been there to be a help or a support. Maybe in some small way, begin to shine a little bit of that light that they themselves may say, you know, I'm in the midst of this challenge, in the midst of walking through the valley of these shadows, I'm grateful that I'm not walking alone. Maybe they might turn to you and simply say, I'm grateful that you were here. You were here because you cared. And in that moment, God's love is apparent. Maybe not in a big way, but it's in a way that's poignant and needed and received. We are indeed grounded in gratitude. If we experience this love of Jesus Christ, if we allow it to infiltrate our head, our hearts, and our minds, and how we respond and live, then we are experiencing the heart of generosity. The core of it is that love that God has for us in Jesus Christ, and that love that we have the privilege of sharing in the world around us. Will you pray with me? Gracious and holy God, come and be at work in us. This week, O Lord, may we be grateful. Not because I've asked people to be grateful, Lord, but because we're going to take time to be reflective in our lives. We're going to take time to see how your love has touched us, spoken to us, inspired us, carried us. And then, Lord, we're going to ask for that greater vision, then our gratitude to see how your love has carried and touched and inspired those around us. And so, God, this week, may we be looking for your presence with grateful hearts. May we be looking for signs of your love as we seek to be those very signs for those around us. You did not come into the world to condemn the world, but in your Son you have come to save all. In your holy name we pray. Amen.